I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements before we open up with prayer. If you look in your bulletin, there should be an insert here. It says, join us and celebrate Ms. Linda Hall 100th birthday party, July the 15th from 1 to 3 at the Wigham Community Center on that. So please mark your calendars for that. Please remember that we'll have lunch immediately after the worship service today, so please plan and stay and fellowship with us as we celebrate the 4th of July. There'll be no choir practice tonight. Deacons meeting immediately after lunch today instead of 4 p.m. deacons, so please remember that. There will be a fifth Sunday lunch after morning service on July 30th, so please mark your calendars for that. And if you have any prayer requests or anything, any needs or need to be contacted, you can always fill this out and just put it in the offering plate. And also thank Brother Tim has got prayer slips or prayer cards on the back table there. You can fill them out and give them to Brother Tim or one of the deacons, or put them in an offering plate too, if that's, we'll make sure it gets to the appropriate person. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? No birthdays?
Happy birthday to the USA.
I'm
not singing.
Okay, I asked her, I thought I was waiting for his cue, y'all. Because I asked him, I said, we're going to sing happy birthday to him. He said, I don't know how we're going to fit that in. But we do. Please have a happy and safe 4th of July. Let's open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord, and the opportunity to gather again today, Lord, and worship you, Lord. We thank you for the Sunday school hour today, Lord, and as we begin our worship service today with songs of praise and hymns, Lord, we just want to sing glory to you, Lord, but we do want to lift Brother Tim up to you as he stands before us today, Lord, and proclaims your word today, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that we have come and prepare our hearts, Lord, to worship you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning again. If you can, please stand as we sing this morning. We'll start with hymn 635. If you're looking in the hymnal, the Star Spangled Banner. We're going to sing the first verse.
Thank you.
26.
sit down, I'm gonna ask you to stand up again as we say the Pledge of Allegiance to our nation's flag. Will stand with me. Attention, salute, pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, may be seated. I ask if you will, this morning, to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We will look at a few other passages this morning. I do want to echo what Brother Tim said. I want to wish you all a safe and happy 4th of July. Beware of the heat. Amen. Not just the fireworks, but the heat. 4th of July is a day we have set aside as a nation to honor all that God has done for us. It's not just a time of thanksgiving. It should be. It is a time of celebration, a time to remember all the sacrifices that men and women throughout the history of our nation have sacrificed for our freedom. It is because of men and women that you and I can meet here today. They sacrificed their life for the freedoms that you and I often take for granted. If you don't believe America is the greatest nation on earth, just look at all the other countries who are trying to get here. Amen? If America is so bad, why do we have so many trying to get to America by whatever means are necessary? I've been to Mexico, I've been to Nicaragua, believe me, I can't blame the people for wanting to try to get here. Because if you went to those countries, I'm not talking about Cancun or someplace like that, but if you get out in the sticks, so to speak, of those nations, you can see why they want to have a better life. We are blessed to be a nation that we say has been founded on God, and I believe that to be true. But with all the freedoms that we have been given, Luke chapter 12, verse 48 tells us that to whom much is given, much is required. And if that don't make you want to look at your life and look at what you've been blessed with and look at what we complain about, I don't know what will. To whom much is given, much is required. Because we have been blessed so much, how are we using what we have been blessed to further the kingdom of God? We have the freedoms to choose where to work, the freedom to choose where you want to live. You have the freedom to come to Wigan Baptist Church this morning. You have that freedom. You have the freedom to decide where you're going to work, live, all those things, where you want to go on the 4th of July if you have the day off. You have those choices, and pretty much as long as you obey the laws, you can go and do whatever you want to do in this nation. You can go from here to California if you would desire to. We have those freedoms. But even as great of freedoms that we have in the United States, there is a freedom that is greater than all the freedoms that any American has ever experienced. And that freedom is found in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. If we look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, this is one of my favorite Bible verses. It says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in who? Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we have read your word, God, I pray that you just open our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit to move in us, through us, to examine us, to see, Lord, whether we are yours or not. Lord, to see whether our life is a life that is lived walking in the Spirit or a life that's lived walking in the flesh. Because your word is clear, Lord, that those who live according to the flesh are not yours. So, Lord, I pray today that you would have your way in our hearts and lives. Lord, help us to realize the freedom that can be found only in you. And Lord, help us to fully surrender our lives to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we see this morning is that as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, you are no longer under condemnation. You have been set free from condemnation. Now you say, well, what condemnation are you talking about? Well, I think to understand that, I'm going to ask you to keep your Bible marker, your ribbon, or your bulletin in Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to ask you if you were to turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Because you see, in order to understand that we are no longer condemned, there is a condition that we have to understand. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 3, if you'll look there with me in verse 14, Jesus spoke these words. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, who is he talking about? We know he's talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus Christ. He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not what? Condemned. But he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, Paul is speaking here, and he's saying, listen, to those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone, they are free. They have been set free. They've been set free of the condemnation. Because you say, well, how do we become condemned? Well, Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and did what? Fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of my sin is what? Yeah. Now, we all know that we're going to die physically, right? We don't know the time or the moment we will pass from this earth, but we can rest assured that one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and we're going to give an account of ourselves to the Lord, and we're going to be judged according to the living and the dead. We're going to be separated, the sheep from the goats and the wheat from the tares. And the reality of it is that you and I are sinners because we were born with a sin nature, but that isn't what condemned us before God. What has condemned us before God is that each and every one of us has willfully chosen to sin, whether against somebody else, but ultimately we have sinned against who? We've sinned against God, and therefore, because God is a holy, just, righteous, perfect God, He demands perfection. And we have failed. We have failed. But because of what Christ did in going, well, let's back up and say they lived a perfect life for us. He was the perfect sacrifice for us. He died for our sins. He was buried and that He rose again the third day. And the Bible tells us that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, we shall be saved. Saved from the wrath of God. Saved from eternity. Saved from separation from God. There's no more condemnation. Don't you love that freedom that you have in Christ? There's a freedom that is found only in Him. But also, I want you to realize that Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is a clear distinction that Paul talks about. Because this is a distinction that is made between those who walk according to the Spirit and those who walk according to the flesh. If I were to just ask you today, and I don't want you to say anything out loud, this is between you and God, you know the answer. Are you walking according to the flesh today, or are you walking according to the Spirit? I could give the invitation right now, amen. How are we walking? Because when Paul talks about our walk, when he uses that word walk, it means our daily lifestyle or our daily conduct. How do we live out of the daily basis? Because you know what? It's easy to get up on Sunday morning and live like an angel through Sunday morning service. Right? But what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? What about when you're at work? What about when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off? You know what I mean? What is our daily lifestyle? Like, how are we living out who we claim to be? You see, Christ has set us free from the condemnation. The Craig said this, I think it's on the booker, will be, freedom in Christ allows you to control the desires that once controlled you. Man, that is a powerful statement. Freedom in Christ. You see, Christ has set me free not only from the condemnation that came with my sin, He not only set me free from the separation that I had because of my sin, He has saved me to set me free from sin itself. Right? Now, the reality of it is there are some people, some preachers even, who will tell you can live how you want to live. We talked about that in Sunday school, Romans chapter 6. We're not going to read it today. You can read it tonight or this afternoon or sometime. God has saved us from our sins not to get right back into it. He has saved us from our sins so that we no longer have to be slaves of sin, but that we can become slaves of righteousness. In other words, we can do what God has created us and formed us to do. Well, I mentioned this a minute ago, but we are to walk according to the Spirit. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, Amos asked a rhetorical question. And Amos asked this, he said, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Man, that's powerful. How can I walk with God if I'm not in line with God? How can I walk with God if my life isn't matching up with His standard? How can I walk with God if I don't agree that I'm a sinner and that I need saving? You see, sometimes we get to somebody's funeral and we go, oh, they were a good person. How many times have you heard that? Will being a good person get you into heaven? No. Only saved people go to heaven. Only those who believe in Jesus Christ can go to heaven. But it also, second freedom it gives us is freedom from the law. And it's a gift. You can go before the judge and say, no, I'm just kidding. This is not on the screen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, Paul tells us that the law was a tutor or a teacher to bring us to Christ. In other words, here's what Paul was saying. The law was never intended to save anybody. Amen. When God gave the Ten Commandments, it wasn't so that people could be perfect and keep all Ten Commandments, because the reality was they could never keep all ten of them. As a matter of fact, James chapter 2, and I don't remember exactly what verse off the top of my head, I know it's in my notes here somewhere. James chapter 2 tells that if you break one of God's laws, how many have you broken? All of them. So the reality is, if you ever disobeyed mom and dad, if you ever took something that didn't belong to you, whether you intended to or not, you're a thief, you're a hater, you're all the things that God has told us. So if we've broken one of God's laws, we have been guilty of all of them. We are condemned in our sins. But what Jesus did in dying on the cross, he took the penalty, he took the imperfection that we had, and he took them in himself, having written the writing of the law. He had crucified them. They were nailed to the cross with him. He took that payment. He fulfilled it. He was the perfect sacrifice. When you and I could not live it out, he came and he did. Here's another thing I want us to think about. How many of you have ever got up in the morning, or maybe even today, you said, man, I'm going to do everything I can to live right today. And what happens by about 8 o'clock in the morning? Come on. You see, it's a struggle. It is a real struggle, because what I find in my life is the harder I try, the worse I do. Should I give up? Romans 6, certainly not. Don't give up. See, here's the reality of it. To sin means, the word sin means to miss the mark. Literally like on a bullseye target. I used to do a lot of bow hunting years ago, till my shoulder just got wore out and I can't do it like I used to. I like to deer hunt. One thing I found out about practicing is I can practice and practice and practice and I can get better, but I am never perfect. You take the best marksman in the world, whether he's shooting or whatever, he might hit that target 999 times out of 1,000. But sooner or later, he is going to miss the mark. You see, practice makes better, but it does not make perfect. We can strive to live out the law, but eventually we're going to miss that mark. Paul would say this, for we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark when it comes to our lives being lived out for the Lord. So where does that leave us? I'm going to ask you, Will, to turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. How can I find the freedom that I need to have? I can only find that in Jesus Christ himself. And when I realize that it is only in him, that frees me up, because it helps me to realize that, you know, I am a sinner. But God knew that when he saved me. Amen? God's love hasn't changed for me, because it's just as strong today. His love is never going to fade. Amen? It's never going to corrupt. It is always going to be there. If God loved me yesterday as a sinner, he's going to love me today as a sinner. He's going to love me tomorrow as a sinner. The question I need to ask myself is, have I been set free from those sins that have enslaved me? Listen to what Jesus says here in John chapter 8, verse 31. It says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
They answered him, you know, they weren't being judgmental. I think they truly had a question here because they're saying, listen, we're of the seed of Abraham. He said, the answer, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" You see, there's a lot of people in today's world who want to live like they want to live. And they say, well, I'm free to do whatever I want to live, do how I want to live. But ultimately, they are a slave to sin. Well, it says Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free
indeed."
You shall be free indeed. You see, I have to be set free from my sin, and the only way that can happen is when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. Not in my works, not in what I do, not in how much I give, not in where I go, but solely in Christ alone. So we realize that we are free from the condemnation, we're free from the law. Let me make one quick side note here. Romans chapter 8 says those who walk according to the Spirit. When he's saying being led by the Holy Spirit, now I want to make one thing clear. The Holy Spirit of God will never tell you to go against the Word of God, okay? The Holy Spirit of God will never, ever lead you to go against the law, any of the laws, period. So when we say, people say, well, God told me to do it. If he told you to murder somebody, that's a lie, okay? If he told you to steal something from somebody, that's a lie. Because the Spirit of God will never, ever tell you to do something that goes against the Word of God. That is why, folks, we need to know the Word of God so that we can have discernment between what is true and what is false. Third thing, quickly, is that we'll be free from sin and death. Man, aren't you glad that when Christ died on the cross and when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for your salvation, man, you're free of those sins. He has freed you from them. We are all sinners. And sin has separated us. It is sin that condemns us to separation from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 8, Paul said, listen, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. There is nothing you can do in the flesh that pleases God. It is only what is done through the Holy Spirit in you that brings change into your life and that brings pleasure to our Heavenly Father. Look at verse back in Romans chapter 8. Back up over there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. See, this is the difference maker. I told you that most of the time when you see the word but in the New Testament, not B-U-T-T, but B-U-T, right? When you see the word but in the New Testament, you're going to find that God has done something on your behalf. But God. Look at what it says. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Man, that's a difference maker. Amen? That is a difference maker because I'm guilty, I'm a sinner, and I need saving. But how do I know if I'm no longer condemned and that I can examine my life and see is the Holy Spirit inside of me? Is the Holy Spirit inside of me? Because if the Spirit of God is inside of me, then that is a guarantee that I am a child of God. And the opposite of that is true as well. Look at the rest of verse 9. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are not a child of God. I don't want to offend you, but I'm going to tell you, if the Spirit of God is not in you, you're going to hell. Plain and simple. You're not a child of God. You have not been made right with God. And you are headed for eternal separation from God. Plain and simple. So that leaves the question, is the Spirit of God important? Yes. You can take the count if you want to in the New King James Version 11 times in 11 verses. The Spirit of God is mentioned. 11 times. And Paul is making clear that, listen, if the Spirit of God is not in us, we have not been forgiven of our sins. We are still condemned because we are walking in the flesh, not in the Spirit of God. Now, Holy Spirit is important. But for the rest of our time this morning, I want to focus on another aspect of this passage here, and that is the power of God. We've been set free. We've been given freedoms in Christ. Freedom from condemnation, freedom from the law, freedom from sin and death. But we've also been given a power. When we look at this passage, we have to think back to even creation. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, it tells us about the six-day creation. I am a literal six-day creation, six 24-hour periods of time. If God wanted it to be said any other way, he would have wrote it that way, amen? But here's the thing. The Spirit of God had the power to create. Right? Spirit of God had the power to create Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14, it tells us about the Spirit of God has the power to save us, seal us, and secure us for all of eternity. But you know what else? The Spirit of God is the same Spirit of God Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8 here. That raised Jesus from the what? From the dead. That same power of God that created all the universe, the stars, the galaxies, the cosmos, everything else in it, you and me, every single insect that crawls on the ground or flies in the air, God created every single one of them. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that the Spirit of God gives him a power of boldness, not of fear. That same power, if you have the Spirit of God living in you, you have that same power in you. How many of us use the excuse when God asks us to do something and we say, well, I just can't do that? I'm shy, I'm timid. Can I tell you, when I was growing up, I stuttered. Who would ever thought an old redneck boy would ever be a preacher? You see, I gave God a lot of excuses too. But what I've realized over the years is it's not about me. It's about God. It's about him. It's about showing who he is. And he can do anything he desires to do. So, when we think back to Romans chapter 8, verse 11, I just want to read through it one more time. Listen to this. But if the spirit of him, meaning the spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Did you hear that? It's no wonder, and I'm not going to take this out of context. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or who gives me strength, whichever translation you're reading this morning. But here's the thing, it's no wonder that Paul knew how to be abased and how to abound. It's no wonder that Paul could go through all these things because he believed in the power of God that lived inside of him. Do we believe God has the power living inside of us to do the impossible? You see, it is for those who are in Christ who realize what John spoke about in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, where John says, greater is he that is in me than he who is where? In the world. Do we believe that today? Do we? Is it just up here or is it here? Do we believe that I can do all things through Christ? That Christ has the power to transform me. And if you were in Sunday school this morning, I encourage you to be in Sunday school. But if you realize that God has the power to form and transform your life into who he desires for you to be, it makes all the difference. Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How are we walking today? Are we walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit? Are we walking by faith or are we walking by sight? You see, the greatest freedom you can ever experience is not by becoming an American. It's not even by being born as an American. It is by putting your faith and trust in Christ alone, and then begin to live it out daily. Do we realize the power that is in us to be all that God has created us to be? I know that some of us today would say, I know I'm saved. I believe it. And if you can say that this morning, say amen. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know the power of God has changed me. But there are some who might be here today who would say, you know what, I've never been set free. I'm an American, I have freedoms, I enjoy the freedoms I have, but I've never been set free from the sin in my life. Can I tell you today you can be if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone? But you know what, I know there's another group of people here today too. You will say, I know I'm saved. I know that I have been born again. But Brother Tim, there is something in my life that has caused me to still live like a slave. And maybe there's that one thing that's in your life, I don't know what it is, you know what it is, God knows what it is, and maybe today you need to say, God, I just need to let it go, because I realize that I may be saved, and I've been saved to live for Christ, I've been given the power to live for him, but I'm still living like I'm a slave of Satan. And I need God to free me from that today. What is in your life that you need to deal with? You know, for many of us, it may be the sin of unforgiveness. Sinners don't. Let me rephrase that. Unborn again sinners refuse to forgive. There are some in our congregation today, and I don't know who you are, I don't know your past problems, I don't know anything about most all of you. But I know that if there's one thing Christians are bad about doing, and that is not forgiving somebody else what they've done against them. And maybe today you just need to say, no, God, I want to be through with this. I want the power to live, the power of God to live in me to change me and set me free from whatever bondage you were in today. I'm just going to simply ask you to stand with me. If there's a decision you need to make for Christ today, then I pray that you'll be set free. Whether it's set free from your sins, trust Jesus for salvation, or whether it's be set free from a certain sin in your life. And can I just say one other thing before praying? We're all sinners. We are all sinners. And just because somebody comes to an altar to pray doesn't mean they're any worse of a sinner than you are. Amen. We need to understand that we are to be a hospital that takes care of broken people. Amen. We're not to be a museum of pristine saints. We're to be real and real with each other. We stand with you. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that you would have your way. Lord, help us to ever be grateful for the freedoms we have as Americans. There is a freedom greater than all freedoms we have here in America, Lord, and that is being freed from our sin. Lord, I pray today, the one who may be here who has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior, they've never been loosed from the sin that they've been enslaved in. Today, Lord, I pray that they would realize the power, Lord, that you can give to them. Freedom from their self, freedom from sin, freedom from shame, freedom from condemnation. Lord, I also know that there are believers here today who may be saved, but they're still living like they're lost. I pray, God, that you give them the power today to realize the freedom that they have in you, the freedom you have to give them to be set free. Lord, I pray that you have your way in each and every heart and life here.